Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Hardest hustle anything is boxing, though. I don't know what you do for a living, but pretty sure ain't nobody punching you all in your eye. I watched one fight. Roy Jones got hit so hard, my TV moved. He was asleep like he got knocked out of the club. The ref was like 241, 242. Roy was snoring. He was really knocked out. He was laying there so long, they had to start another fight. Roy was still there. Fighters had to dance around Roy.
Fighters had to dance around Tyrone Woodley last night. Straight up, he's still laying on the canvas. I mean, it was like 2,445. I mean, you just keep counting. Bottom line is, he was knocked out clean with one punch. It was a horrible fight up to that point, but Jake Paul, the internet sensation, call him what you want. I think he's 5-0 now with 4 knockouts, or 4-0 now with 3 knockouts. Bottom line is, he was the winner last night in a Showtime pay-per-view card that was a winner as well as far as the money was concerned, because anything this guy touches turns to gold. He's got the Midas touch. That's just what I say. Don't like him as a boxer. If you're a boxing fan, that's up to you. But the bottom line is, he sells tickets. Now, let's bring in boxing's PhD. I'm talking about Mr. Socrates Palmer Jr., sir. A very exciting weekend of boxing. The Zone, ESPN, Fox Sports 1, Facebook Watch, Fight Network, Showtime pay-per-view, Box Azteca. There was a lot of fights on yesterday.
Yes, there was. Some could argue this, you know, the cynic in me says, you know, do we care about quantity or quality? But, you know, it was pretty good. It was entertaining fights on yesterday. A lot of fighters, you know, right before the holidays, getting some checks. So that's a good thing. And fight fans were entertained, to say the least, especially with Chisora and Parker.
You know, we'll get to that in a minute. But just outside of the amateurs, nobody likes training and nobody really fights in December. The amateurs have cards like early in January and late in December and things like that, qualifying matches. But, you know, for the pros, for the most part, it's always been like a quiet time. But now with fights being on the Zone and fights being coming to us from all around the planet, I mean, like, so I think the fight came from Ukraine this weekend. Bottom line is, boxing is international, and now it's happening as far as instantaneous stuff's concerned. I mean, I hit my apps this weekend. I hit The Zone, and I hit ESPN Plus.
Yeah, as for sure. This is something new. Traditionally, this is a dead period in terms of fights. It seems like the wave. Yesterday, Eddie Hearn was banging his chest that they did 40 shows this past year, and they look to do, 44 shows. They're looking to do 50 next year. So, hey, there's only 52 weeks in the year. So that's a lot of boxing. And it is a crummy time to train, especially through Thanksgiving if you're an American, and the Christmas season. But there's only one way to get paid, and that's to fight. So.
Making weight, man, making weight. I told you what it was like when we went to Colorado Springs to the Western Olympic Trials. They said, you're going to run in the morning. I said, hey, no problem. I'm saying, man, I can't wait to get out there and run. So when they woke us up at 5 o'clock, we were running at 5:30. I said, I got all bundled up, got my hoodies on, the whole nine yards, you know, my rubber suit. I was ready to go. I went outside. It was like snowing. I couldn't believe it. I wanted to go back inside. There's no, you're not going back inside, son. You got to run now. What pissed me off about that was Henry Tillman, my buddy, of course, the former Olympic gold medalist in 1984 and the NABF heavyweight champion. He used to get up at 11 o'clock. That's what it meant. They had their Olympic team already chosen. You hear what I'm trying to say, Sock?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of politics that go into amateur boxing, for sure.
The worst, though. I mean, as far as boxing is concerned, I'm telling you, as far as amateur and pro, I think there's more politics in amateur boxing. Now, David Morrell, you told us who he was yesterday. Is he impressive to you? He was a winner last night over Alanis Fox.
I think, you know what, I still think that I need to see more. He has this bogus trinket, you know, by the WBA, we all know that the real super middleweight champion is Canelo Alvarez in that weight class. Will he ever get a shot at him? Probably not. But the guy, he's doing his part. You know, they're putting in opponents that are tailor-made for him, and he's taking them out. You know, he's a knockout artist. That's what people like to see. And there are some names that he can cut his teeth against. one of which would be Benavidez.
I'm glad you brought him up. I'm glad you brought up Mr. David Benavidez. Of course, the undefeated lad at 168, former WBC title holder at 168 until he, like, had some coke problems. Let's be honest about it. He had some coke problems. And, of course, he said he cleaned himself up. We wish him the best. Of course, he's looking good of late. He's going to hook it up in a WBC vacant title bout because they're going to give Canelo this opportunity to fight at cruiserweight. He's going to take on David Lemieux. Lemieux, of course, out of Canada. Lemieux's a puncher. He's going to come. He's going to fight. But David Benavidez right now, I think he's the better of the two.
Absolutely. I think David Lemieux has definitely seen better days. And it's funny, David Lemieux was kind of like this prodigy. He used to appear in these boxing instructional videos with the coach. He does the rival boxing, Abner.
Okay.
I forget. Russ, I'm butchering his name, but he's a great guy. But David Lemieux kind of hit his peak. You know, he couldn't get over the hump in the big fights. He was bested once by Alcine back in junior middleweight and then stopped by Gennady Golovkin. He seems to be tailor-made for Benavidez. And once again, we get a C-level fight when we're all waiting for a big fight from Benavidez.
Okay.
When is he going to fight Charlo?
No, when is Charlo going to fight him?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
That's what when's Charlo going to
fight anybody with a pulse?
I mean, listen, I tried to get a fight with Charlo. You know what he told me? You're not old enough. I said, okay. He told me I'm not old enough. You know, I said, okay. Oh, and here's that sock. I don't know if I told you this. Yeah, I think we did mention this yesterday. But I took that life screening exam, you know, where they do the scans and they take the tests and all this kind of good stuff. And they do blood tests and all this kind of good stuff. So anyway, when they came out and they said that I was overweight, and I looked at my 30-inch waist, I was a little appalled. But the bottom line is, I guess, muscle doesn't count.
BMI. We could spend the whole show on this. BMI is not accurate. It's not for every single ethnic body type. How's that?
All right, let's change subjects. Derek Chisora put up a good fight against Joseph Parker again. It went 12 rounds. Scores were 115, 111 twice, and 114, 112. Why does Joseph Parker keep taking these pedestrian-like fights, fights he's supposed to win? And, hey, fights he's supposed to win, but he's not winning them in a spectacular manner. He's not.
Well, you know, any time you step in there with Chisora, it's not going to be an easy night. I mean, yes, he won, clearly. He clearly won that fight. He battered Chisora. But Chisora tried hard, and he had his moments in that fight. And it's been a while since Joseph Parker's had a title shot. And I think he's kind of earned it, but he's got to wait his turn. I mean, there's only so many. I mean, between Fury and then Usyk and Joshua, Fury's supposed to fight Dillian White. So he's kind of just been patient. And I got to give Joe Parker credit. You know, he's keeping himself busy. What's next? I guess he probably just sits back.
251 pounds.
Yeah. He didn't look svelte, but I think he needed that extra weight because, I mean, Chisora's a big boy, you know. And remember, that was a big reason why he made Usyk look so bad. He's just a big dude, and he comes straight forward. So I think he definitely won that extra weight. And I think he handled it well. His hand speed was good. I think he's doing good work with Andy Lee. You kind of question his killer instinct. A little bit. There was a couple of moments that you thought that he could have taken Chisora out, and he just couldn't do it. You know, okay. But I think Joe's going to still have his one more shot. He just has to be patient.
Did you happen to see my girl Cienessa Estrada this weekend?
Oh, I saw the knockout. I didn't see the fight. Yeah. I'll be honest with you, but I saw the highlight. She gets better every time out.
She's the baddest woman on the planet. I think she's better than Amanda Serrano. Amanda's probably going to come down to the studio and kick my ass for that. But the bottom line is, I think pound for pound, she's better than Amanda. I think she's the best, man.
She gets better and better. And it's funny because I remember when they brought her in, when she first made TV, she was kind of on the B side. She was fighting the former Olympian. I can't remember her name. And she whipped her. And ever since then, she's improving. She's really, really talented. And definitely in the mix with best pound for pound.
You got a few minutes for me after the break?
Absolutely.
All right. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Of course, coming to you on Veev TV. Straight up, my name is Pedro Fernandez. We'll be back with boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, after the break.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
That is just a fact of life.
Minutes past the hour. This is hour number one of two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I'm supposed to bring in Jimmy Ford, who runs an amateur boxing gym here in the Bay Area in Brisbane, California, has for about 25 years, to give him a bit of a distinguished service award. And he's going to stiff me. He's not coming. So the guy that he was supposed to come with is sick. Doesn't feel like coming. Bottom line is, Jimmy, we will get you in the studio hopefully soon and honor you as you deserve to be noted. No doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. Canelo Alvarez is supposed to fight a guy at cruiserweight. Going to make this guy come down from 200 pounds to 190 pounds. His name is Ulanga Jr. Makubu. He is 28-2. He's been stopped in those two fights. Hint, hint. 25 KOs. what are you chuckling about, Socrates?
Okay, I'm kind of realizing how he his qualifications to fight the best pound for pound fighter in the world. But go ahead.
Well, he beat Tony Bellew. I mean, right. I take it back. He lost to Tony Bellew. That's one of the guys he got stopped by. But the bottom line is, they're going to make this guy sweat down to 190 pounds. Donny Alon came down to 168 to defend his 175 pound title with Ray Leonard. He made a whole lot of money doing so. Is the money worth the risk? I mean, put it this way. This guy probably couldn't make a lot of money anywhere else. He's going to make more with Canelo Alvarez than he ever will in 15 or 20 of his fights, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Listen, I think it's a smart business decision. At the end of the day, this is prize fighting, you know, and you have to, you know, he's got a good manager for sure. I believe, is he promoted by Don King?
Is Don still promoting anybody? Don doesn't take my calls anymore. You know why?
Why, sir?
Because when I call from my own phone. It says AAA Discreet Investigations. And Don looks down at the phone. And Don looks down at the phone. He says, I ain't picking up that phone for nothing. Okay? He, you know, and when I try to tell him, don't you remember I'm a PI, I'm an ex-cop? Oh, you know, anyway, Don's a little paranoid in his old age. 90 years old, of course, Bob Arum turned 90 as well. The two, you know, the two godfathers of boxing promoter for the boxing promotion for the last half a century, without a doubt. And Bob Arum's still going, and Bob Arum's still cantankerous, maybe even sometimes truculent, but he's still out there and he's involved. Don King's been on the back burners for a long time.
Well, you have to talk to my lawyer on that one.
Well, you know, the biggest thing that happened to Don King is that HBO really, you know, cut him off, you know, and then Showtime, little by little, they cut him off. And, you know, Don has, I think the last time Don had a show, he had to, you know, it was a pay-per-view from Hollywood, Florida. Okay. You know, he's got a version of the heavyweight title, in the WBA.
Mr. Char and Brian, something like that, anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, overall, look at his resume. I mean, every time he, you know, I've told you this before, is that he made a lot of money when guys fought for him. In other words, he had Carl King sometimes as their manager. Sometimes that was good and sometimes it was bad. I remember with James Page, the WBA welterweight champion, they would move him up to 154 to fight Tito Trinidad. He would have still kept his title at 147. They told him, we're going to give you $1.4 million, but you're only going to take home $550,000 because Carl King's going to get a third and taxes and this and that. And his mother said no. And I said, listen, that's $500,000 more than you can make anywhere else. Please, please, please take the fight. And she didn't. Instead, she went and fought Alfred Sixhead Lewis and got knocked out. She saw six heads across the ring. I'm talking about James Page. But the bottom line is sometimes you just got to go with the money. I mean, Don King made these guys into superstars for the most part, and if you watched your money, you knew what time it was. If you didn't watch your money, Don was probably going to get the better of you.
Listen.
Nice way to put it?
Absolutely. Hey, but that's life. I mean, you know, you have to never let someone else count your own money. I think that's the golden rule, especially if you're dealing with, you know, big dollars, and you are the commodity. You have to know your worth. Don King, say what you will about him, you never got garbage like on a pay-per-view show. I mean, think about it. Back in the day, I mean, you would have Felix Trinidad, Julio Cesar Chavez, Terry Norris all on one card.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You would never see that. I know the money's a lot different now, but regardless, I mean, he was the fight fans promoter, you know. He put on the best cards, you know. And, those days are long gone.
In 89, he tried to get me to do a little bit of a boxing comeback. I'll never forget. I was schooling a couple of guys, including Saul Mambi, at the Times Square gym for a WBC convention. I schooled these guys, man. I mean, I was just on top of my game that day. And I was a year into retirement, but I was in good shape. And Don says to me, he says, you know, Pedro, maybe you could do something, this and that. You know, maybe you could beat up some of your adversaries, some of the other writers, this and that. So he was trying to get me to lump up other writers. I mean, that's what Don was thinking about. We could have fighter, writer versus writer, this and that, and put it on undercard. But he was always thinking, man, and of course, not always in your best interest. But then again, when I was doing this international TV forum with Colonel Bob Sheridan, he said to me, "Do you have a nanny for your daughter?" I mean, things like that. Don King's a CEO. He doesn't need to be asking about my babysitting situation.
Yeah. I mean, some people like that, you know, like. You think the worst of them, and then they just hit you with something out of left field.
No, conscientious. This is what I've learned in boxing, and this boxing has really, really taught me this. The way you get along with somebody is not the way I'm going to get along with somebody sometimes. In other words, sometimes this guy's your partner, but he's not my partner. Me and him, we went to blows, I mean, basically almost, this and that. But that's just the way it goes. You got to learn how to respect those borders. But that without that, there would be no boxing game. I mean, you've got to have adversarial issues, and that sort of sets things up, whether you're a writer or a fighter. Sock, you there?
Hey, I had a little flash knockdown there. I don't know what happened.
Okay, anyway, let's talk about Amanda Serrano making $275,000 last night. That's big money.
Huge money. And, you know, yes, it's easy to dislike Jake Paul and to go against the circus act that it is. But you know what? Where else is Amanda Serrano going to make that type of money fighting Miriam Gutierrez? Never.
I'll put it to you like this. He's good for boxing. I'm not dogging this guy for boxing. He's selling out arenas. People are showing up for his cards. People are buying the pay-per-views. People are getting paid underneath him. I mean, I'll say it again. I said this earlier. Did you ever hear about Mike Tyson or Sugar Ray Leonard or Marvin Hagler? Marvin Hagler was a cheap, cheap bastard. But anyway, you ever hear any? He was the cheapest, man. He was so – not as cheap as Rocky Marciano, because Marciano was so cheap he flew himself to death. Flew into a death trap. Well, you know what Marciano did with his airline ticket that day, right? He had a Pan Am airline ticket, and he cashed it in. He refunded it so he could fly in the back of some charter plane and got killed.
Wow, that's ridiculous cheap.
Cheapest dude in the world. Used to walk into a tailor shop and would expect them to give him a suit for free. This is long after. I kid you not. Rocky had chutzpah. He was Italian, but he had chutzpah.
Wow, I didn't know that story. But it must be a New England thing with cheap fighters, you know.
Putting
him in the line with Marvin.
Okay. Dennis Benichek beat Isa Chanov. I believe that took place over in the Ukraine. So ESPN Plus was in Ukraine yesterday. Joseph Parker and those guys were from the UK on DAZN. Chavez Jr. was coming to us from Mexico. Fights from the United States as well, but fights are happening, man, and they're happening around the world. Boxing is becoming more global. But the best got to fight the best. So I'm just getting tired of calling out these lightweights, you know. I mean, you know, Gervonta Davis talking smack. None of these guys, they're all talking smack, but I don't see these guys saying, you know what, I'm willing to go down to fight George Kambosos for 15 cents in Australia because I think I can beat him. You know, I mean, nobody's willing to say that. Why? If he's such an easy mark, if Hector implies he's an easy mark, even though he beat his guy, Teofimo Lopez, I mean, why aren't the guys lining up to fight Kambosos? Why aren't they?
I think they are.
Are they?
I think they are. I think he definitely shows that the jury's still out. You know, maybe that was a one-hit wonder.
Not
you know, a little
one.
Lloyd Honeygun action. You know, we don't know.
Ooh,
we don't know. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, going into the fight, you know, he was a considerable underdog. You know, and he fought maybe the fight of his life. But I think someone will cash in that golden ticket. You know, to go to Australia because it's a big show. you know, and he deserves it. You know, he beat the man who beat the man. And hopefully.
You know, I'm sitting here, I'm cringing when you mention Jorge Vaca. I always felt I could beat Jorge Vaca, even when he knocked out Mark Breland. I felt there was nothing. And then he fought Camacho over in Puerto Rico. I was part of the TV team there. But I always felt I could beat Vaca. And Vaca beat Hunnigan. Hunnigan beat Curry. So what I'm trying to say is that, you know, Jorge Vaca, yikes. I mean, was he the worst WBC champion in history?
I'd have to really do some research, but there's been some questions. What about this guy, Luis Santana? That's probably the worst champion of all time.
Oh, you know, Elvis Phillips. Elvis,
New York. Yes. Elvis. Grant's fighter.
Grant Phillips. Grant Phillips. I shared a hotel room with him at the Dennis Andrews, Tony Willis. WBC heavyweight title, light heavyweight title fight down in Tucson, Arizona. And I came back and I smelled this burn. He uses Nair. He put Nair all over his body. You know what I'm saying? So I said to myself, ouch, this probably isn't the guy I want to be sharing rooms with, but I'm from San Francisco, so he probably, maybe they think anything goes. No, anything doesn't go, man. I'm getting another room.
Nair, wow.
Can you remember that one? Anyway, bottom line is, it's been a great week talking to you, of course, about the world of boxing. What do you think that is the end result of this Canelo Alvarez moving up to 190 pounds and fighting this guy at 190 pounds, Mr. Well, whatever his name was? I mean, can Canelo beat a guy that big?
We're going to find out, you know. I mean, there's certain guys that their power, you know, transcends weight classes, and apparently Canelo is one of those guys. And he's definitely going to have the advantage with speed. And the punch that hurts you is the one that you don't see coming. So Canelo will probably be a big favorite going into that fight, but it's probably more, you know, it says about his opponent.
Okay, all right.
What it does is probably a one-and-done deal.
Okay.
You know, I can see him coming back down to light heavyweight, if anything.
Switching gears to light heavyweight, Beterbiev, good Lord, man. He's like, how do you beat that guy? I talked about it earlier. I wouldn't know how to beat him. Sort of like Zach Padilla. You can't, unless you can hurt him and drop him, and I don't know if you can hurt or drop that guy. He's got a chin of stone.
He's a monster, man. He really is. And I know that word gets thrown around easy, but this guy's a legit beast. He wastes little movement, little energy. He will take two or three to deliver his one, and his one outweighs your two or three. Showed a lot of heart fighting with a nasty gash. That headbutt was ridiculous, and he took out Mr. Marcus Brown. No one beats him other than Father Time.
No doubt about that. Mr. Palmer, you have a good week, good weekend, no doubt about that. It was always a pleasure having your boxing insight here on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. We thank you, sir, for your time.
Appreciate it, sir. Have a great rest of your day.
This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, often imitated but hardly duplicated. 37 make at 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. More Ring Talk after the break.